So welcome again to this evening's service, and we're looking tonight at Mark chapter 1, and we're looking at verse 35 to 45. So I think we'll just, I'll come over here, I think we'll just read that out. Do you want to read it together if you'd like to? Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so that I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus was indignant. He reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning, "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. I don't know whether you've ever found yourself in a situation where sort of everything's pressing in on you at the same time, and all you want to do is just get away. Have you felt like that at all? I used to work in an office in Manchester. I was in recruitment, and the office opened at 9, and we closed at 5:30, and from 9 o'clock until 5:30, the phone never stopped ringing. Hundreds of calls a day. And there were only about 4 of us in the office. And by 5:30, we were completely washed out. And it was just too much. And quite often, we'd just go to a cafe, not even go home, just to have 30 minutes of just getting some time to be on our own. Well, in this evening's passage, we find Jesus is in a similar situation. So the night before, many people have been brought to him in need of healing. We read the whole town gathered at the door. We mentioned a few weeks ago that Mark sometimes exaggerates slightly. So whether it was the whole town, certainly it was a lot of them, I think we can assume. The whole town gathered at the door. And Jesus will have ministered to as many of them as he can. And for those of us who've been in ministry and praying with people, it's exhausting. It can be really tiring. And if you've got 10, 15, 20, 30, 50 people to pray for, a big queue. It can be so exhausting, so tiring. And so interestingly, we pick up the story from today's passage, and now it's the early hours of the following morning. And I would suggest that most people have gone to bed, as we would do in the early hours of the morning. Jesus takes the opportunity of getting up early and finds a solitary place to pray to God and seek spiritual restoration. And you can just imagine him in this solitary place, just breathing in the Father's presence and just saying, "I need restoring, because this has only just started, this ministry, and it's going to go a long way. And I just need, Lord, I just need you to come and fill me." But it isn't long before his presence is sought again by the eager crowds. So a couple of thoughts as we go into this passage. How would Jesus respond to this constant demand for miracles, for healings, for deliverance? And what would motivate Jesus to heal anybody in the first place? And why, at this early stage in his ministry, would Jesus prefer those who have been healed not to say a word to anyone? So my first point is this. I've entitled it An Unusual Response. Simon and his companions went to look for him, presumably fairly early in the morning, And when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." If it had been me, my heart would have sank probably. Here we go again, and it's not even daybreak yet, you know, but Jesus was different to me. Now look at Jesus' response. Jesus, everyone's looking for you. Let's go somewhere else. To the nearby villages, so that I can preach there also. And then he says these incredible words, "That is why I have come. That is why I have come, to preach there also." I was just imagining when his friends said to him, "Jesus, everyone's looking for you." I think of the night before they'd been at Simon Peter's mother-in-law's house and there'd been queues of people. And I just wondered whether they were queuing up again. More people wanting to be healed. More miraculous healings desired. And Jesus' response is purposeful and it's profound. We need to move on. We've got to go somewhere else. Because I need to preach the good news to other people. That's why I've come. And it really just reminds us, or certainly reminds me, and when we have a chat about the passage afterwards, see what we think. But I think his primary mission was to preach the good news. I've come to preach the good news. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him," I interpret that, whoever believes in what he says, what he preaches, "shall not perish, but have eternal life." So it's the salvation upon hearing and believing in the word. And certainly my interpretation of the scriptures is that Jesus' priority is to offer salvation, freedom, and forgiveness to people like you and to people like me. Our sins separated us from a relationship with our Heavenly Father, and Jesus says, "I've come to bring salvation. I've come to restore you back into the Father's presence. That is why I have come." And so, I hope you agree, signs and wonders and healings and deliverances are to accompany the preaching of the word. Not the preaching of the word is to accompany signs and wonders, healings and deliverances. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been in my Christian past in churches where the preaching of the word would get smaller and smaller and smaller, and the signs and wonders, supposedly, would get bigger and bigger and bigger. And in the end, when I look back, those churches are no longer around. Because the focus shifted from the preaching of the word to signs and wonders. I'm not saying that signs and wonders aren't right, but it is my belief that signs and wonders accompany the preaching of the word rather than the preaching of the word, if you've got time, accompanies signs and wonders. I don't know what you think about that, but that's what I think. A person's spiritual salvation is the greatest healing of all. You know, if we get through this life and we've been saved, but maybe we haven't been healed of anything, I'll tell you what, that's okay. It's the greatest healing of all. When we're rescued from death into life, we're rescued from hell to heaven. It's a wonderful deliverance. When we have that offer, that promise of eternal life, I mean, what could be better than that? Surely that is the wonderful healing when we've been saved. Nothing else is more important. "Everyone is looking for you," they shouted. And I guess if they'd stayed in Capernaum, many more healings and deliverances would have taken place. But Jesus had something in his heart that was far more significant to accomplish. And that was to share the truth of the word with those who had not yet heard it. As many people as possible need to hear the message. So his priority was to continue preaching the word to new audiences, rather than just remain and healing the people who he's been with for a couple of days already. There's a great verse in Luke chapter 4. It's sometimes seen as the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And he goes into the synagogue, he picks up the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, and he turns to this particular passage, and he says these words, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor." Isn't that wonderful? Now, when you read on through that passage, he does talk about releasing people and setting the oppressed free and bringing sight to the blind. But the first line, the first priority, is to preach good news to the poor. And so I don't want you to misinterpret what I'm saying. I think healings and deliverances in their place are important. But I think the preaching of the word and the hearing of his word is a priority. It's from my personal experience that it's only through the revelation of the word, capital W, hearing it, believing it, receiving it, following it, that people are able to receive his gift of salvation. I've been in many meetings in the past where people have had a healing. Have they come back to church? A few, but quite a lot don't. They just go home, thank you very much. No, it's the preaching of the word and the revelation of the word that sets the people free. So they set off and they travel throughout Galilee, and Jesus continues to preach the good news. But it doesn't take long before he's met by another person who's in desperate need of healing. And this person is begging for help. And the question is, well, how is Jesus going to respond to him? And so my second point is this: a compassionate touch. If Jesus' ministry was primarily to preach the word, why would he bother healing people at all? Why would you bother? I've got to preach the word. That's all I'm going to do. Well, it's simply this. We've been thinking about it already today. Jesus was and is motivated by compassion. He's not motivated by power. He's not motivated by fame or prestige, but compassion. And when he sees a person bound under a curse of sickness, his very nature, his very longing is to set the person free. Jesus had compassion when he saw the sheep without a shepherd. His whole heart is filled with compassion. And on their travels, he's approached by a man who's desperate, and he has leprosy. This man has leprosy. It's a contagious disease, potentially causing deformity and death. In Jesus' day, there was no cure, as far as I'm aware. Lepers were outcasts. They were separated from the rest of civilized society. They were forced to live in leper colonies. And if ever a leper even needed to come near to a group of people who were so-called healthy, they'd need to ring a bell and cry out, "Unclean, unclean, unclean," and people would steer away from them. The social stigma of the disease of leprosy was absolutely brutal and would just separate you, and you'd be seen as an outcast. And when the leper sees Jesus, he falls to his knees and he cries out, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." That's the case, isn't it? So one translation, the one I've got here, is filled with, we'll come to the indignant word in a moment, filled with compassion, Jesus reaches out his hand and touches the man. Well, you don't do that. You don't go up to someone with leprosy and touch a man, because it can pass through touch. I always think when I read this passage of Princess Diana, do you remember when she went into that AIDS hospital? She wasn't wearing any gloves and she just reached out. Because when AIDS first broke out, people, you may catch it through touching someone, and she just touched them, put her arm around them. That's compassion, isn't it? It's wonderful. It's a beautiful thing. Filled with compassion, he reaches out his hand, he touches the man. "I am willing," he said, "and be clean." And we read, immediately, the leprosy left him and he was cured. Now, this other translation that was on the screen, filled with indignation. It's a good old word, that, isn't it? Indignation. The indignation of having to witness a person created by God in their mother's womb, gripped in the scourge of sickness. Jesus longs that people are set free. If the Son sets you free, you should be free indeed. So just at this moment, and Jesus has said before this moment, I've just got to go and preach. What caused him to stop and to pause, maybe on the way to the synagogue, and heal yet another person? It's his heart of compassion. Jesus has not come to condemn, but to heal. And we would do likewise, to think that way. Well, as we go about the rest of this week, I'd be quite surprised if you and I on the streets of Bangor met a leper, because it can be cured nowadays. But we will come across people on our paths who are in need of compassion, who are in need of being loved, who are in need of being helped across the road or with a shopping bag, or who are sat on the ground, homeless and desolate, just needing an arm around them and someone to say hello and smile. I encourage us this week to be on the lookout for these type of folks, these type of people. And when we meet them, let us share the love of Christ, as we were saying this morning, with them, showing them compassion and kindness and mercy, offering a helping hand to anyone out there who we come across and they come into our path. We will know the Lord has placed them there and we just need to respond. Do you remember what Jesus said? Whatever you do for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you do for me. Yes, we will meet Jesus in the homeless man. We will meet Jesus in the alcoholic and the addict. We will meet the person, Jesus, in the person who wants to jump off the bridge because they can't go on. Let us take every opportunity that comes our way and allow the love of Christ and the compassion of Christ to pour out onto that person. We left Renew, the Thursday meeting, one morning, and Hazel and I were driving back over to Anglesey, and we got to the bridge, and there's a bench there, and there was a lady in a dressing gown, and she was lying on the side on her own. A couple of people had stopped. I said to Hazel, "We've got to stop. We've got to stop. We've got to let the dog out for a wee. No, we've got to stop now. This lady's in need." And a few other people stopped as well. We're nothing special. We just saw the moment. And she was unconscious. And Hazel checked the bag and there were 10 empty pill boxes. She'd eaten them all. And so we just hoisted her up and I just put my arm around her. And Hazel put her arm around her and someone called the ambulance. And when the ambulance came, we were just able to hand that situation over. But we were just able to whisper into this lady's ears, even though she appeared unconscious. She says, "Keep going, it's going to be all right. Help's on the way." We could have just driven past. I think the Lord allows these situations to happen for us to experience being able to pour out just love, and God will do the rest. The last thing I want to just say is this. Quite a strange moment comes next. Jesus gives a very stern warning. A compassionate healing followed by a stern warning. Jesus sends him away at once with a stern warning. "See that you don't tell this to anybody. I've just delivered you from a horrendous disease. Don't say a word." Wow. "But go and show yourself to the priest. Offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." It's an incredible warning in a way. And I think if I'd have been the leper and suddenly realised that I was completely, no deformities, no skin disease, completely well, I just want to tell someone what's happened. That's right. That's right. And he is instructed to go to see the priest. Yeah. But there's certainly a suggestion that whatever you do, don't go telling everybody else. Just keep it yourself. And it's not just in this instance. There are other instances when Jesus healed people and said, "Don't say a word." It's all to do with the timing of his ministry. In Mark chapter 1, this is the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And great trials and tribulations and persecution and arrest and all those things would follow. But for now, while he had the space without fear of being arrested, his priority was to preach the truth to as many people as possible with little distraction, if possible. And if the healed man goes around to the next town or to the next village or to another family and says, oh, I've been healed. Oh, I'm not very well either. Who is it? Can we come and find? And then you're back to the queues again at the front of the front door. It's an interesting challenge, isn't it? Don't say anything. Well, he was only human, like you and me. He couldn't contain his joy. I've been healed. And we read, he went out and began to talk freely, presumably to a number of people, spreading the news. And the consequence of that, we read, is that as a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. In other words, just try and avoid this sort of hordes of people who wanted to touch from the Lord. And then we read, yet the people still came to him from everywhere. It couldn't be stopped. Once the word was out that there's a miraculous healer, if it happened today, the same thing would happen again. People just flocked. Well, it was the beginning of his ministry, and maybe he didn't want that type of publicity at the beginning. But we are living in the go moment. So at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, he sort of says, don't say a word to anyone. Then at the end of Jesus' ministry, one of the last things he said was, go into all the world and tell everybody. Timing is perfect, isn't it? Well, I think we should be inspired somewhat by the healed man, by his fervor, by his yearning to talk about what the Lord has done, because we're living in that go moment. May we be inspired by the healed man's yearning to tell others about what the Lord has done for him, what the Lord has done for us. May we have the courage to spread the word. May we have the courage to share our own testimony and to do everything we can to ensure that as many people come into the kingdom as possible. You and I are the body of Christ. We are the priesthood of royal believers. So let us go in his name and make a difference to the lives of others. Amen.